back here behind this sacred desk once again. We haven't been here in a few weeks. So we appreciate, first and foremost, all of your prayers for us and our family. And we just thank you that God is still in the healing business, and he's able to bring us through. So right before we're going to have Brother Wade come, let's just sing one little song. I'd like to sing Only Believe. Let's just sing Only Believe. And we're going to start with the chorus, and then we'll sing a verse or two from it.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only believe.
If you're at home, let's just stand to our feet.
Fear not, little flock, from the cross to the throne, from death into life, he went for his own. All power in earth, all power above is given to him for the flock of his love. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible if you only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only believe.
I like this verse. Fear not, little flock, he goeth ahead.
Fear not, little flock, he goeth ahead. Your shepherd selecteth the path you must tread. The waters of Merah he'll sweeten for thee. He drank all the bitter in Gethsemane. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only believe.
You got me on here.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that all things are possible. For Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And your house. But we just have some trying times, and the trying times that we have means that we buckle up just a little bit tighter. Yeah. And I don't like promoting other ministers because people get all yeti yeti about it, but there's Brother Chad Lamb from Lima, Ohio, has a sermon that he preached about giving Caesar what's Caesar and God what's God. So it would be nice if you wanted to watch that. He does a real good job. He was a very hardliner about not wearing masks and being this and that and the other. And, you know, but the Lord kind of changed his attitude a little bit when he would read quotes where Brother Brown said, "My arms are sore from taking the malaria and taking all the different things that getting ready to go overseas." He said, Brother Brown said, "I know I'm not going to get malaria." He said, "But I'm going to satisfy Caesar and do what Caesar asked me to do, but I'm going on for the glory of the Lord." So that's kind of what we're doing with our mask wearing and hand sanitizing and all these things. We're trying our best to make it through. We've got up here on the board, if you want to, while you're home, take a screenshot of this. And this will be the way that we will be. We don't have Wednesday service up there. We'll have Wednesday at 7, but Sunday 10 to 10 and 1. This will be phase one, back to what we were doing when we first started this with only so many group in the building. Now, Joe is going to add it right there. That's wonderful. That's good. All right. So Sunday at 10 and at 1, Wednesday at 7, a list will be created and announced at every service. Now listen, if you don't hear your name called, or if you have a question, go back to this. That's why we archive these sermons. Go back to it and look, and you can hear what I say, and you can get clarity. I know a lot of people, you know, get confused about things, but if you'll come back and listen to the sermon, you ain't got to listen to the whole sermon, just listen to the first part of it. We try to simplify this mess. Yes. Okay? So masks will be worn when exiting your vehicle. This will be just the ones that come to service. Look at number one, a list. I'm fixing to announce the list right now. You'll be the only people come to services. Mask will be worn when exiting your vehicle. You'll be allowed to remove it in the sanctuary, and we'll be distancing just like we've been doing, keeping our distance. And then when we get ready to leave the service, put your mask back on. You can congregate downstairs and talk if you want to. Try to keep a safe distance. There won't be but 10 or 12 or 14 people here, so. But you need to make sure you wear your mask until you get ready to leave and go home, all right? This will be carried out until we announce that we will go to phase two. Now, I'm not going to tell you what phase two is because you'll think that's phase one. And then I'll get all these phone calls about the confusion. This is what we're doing right now. Nothing different until I announce or Brother Dale announces that we're going to phase two. All right. So we're going to stay on phase one for a little while. And I'm going to announce to people that's going to be here on Wednesday night. Now, Brother Aaron is going to be speaking Wednesday night, so obviously I hope he shows up. All right. Then myself, Brother Terrence, Brother Joe Canada, Brother Bob Black, Brother Luis Urego, Brother Richard Roberts, Brother Tony Smallwood, Brother Gary Krantz, Brother John Durrett, Brother Anderson Marunga, Brother Josh Dale, and Brother Donnie Fawbush. So right now, that'll be the ones, and we'll rotate that, the ones that I didn't call, some like Brother Ryan and Brother Kern and different ones. They work in the evening, so they're usually not here, so I'll let them come in somebody else's place on Sunday. But we pray the Lord will bless each and every one of you. We're only going to have one service today, but we will go back to this right here starting Wednesday night, all right? So that's what we're going to do. Starting on Wednesday night will be this list here, what I just announced, and this is the way we'll do it here until we decide to go to phase two, which we will announce ahead of time. All right. Also, today is Brother Tony Smallwood's birthday. God bless you, Brother Tony. We'll sing happy birthday to you when everybody's here that can sing. So, so we'll forego that for the moment, but happy birthday to Brother Tony. Known him for a long time. He's a good brother. And got a wonderful family there with, we've known Sister Cleta for a long time also. And Sister Esther. So God bless you. By way of any other announcements, Brother Dale, those of you know, he did not test positive, so he tested negative, but he's taking care of Mom, and Mom tested positive for the coronavirus. So she is quarantined at home, and she's doing better. She had a rough night, I think Dad said, at a point a little bit last night, but we're still praying that the Lord will bring a complete healing. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you this. I'm human as much as you guys are. I was having a pity party yesterday, you know, why in the world, why in the world, why in the world? And I just got finished reading the book of Job, and the Lord said, you need to read that book over again. Because we got no symptoms. What Job was just living a happy life. Job was wonderful. He was a good Christian at the time, doing his sacrifices and doing everything he knew. He actually went above and beyond. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? He called the devil's attention to Job that was sitting over there in his rose garden, sipping his iced tea and living in an air-conditioned house. And then about a month after that, he had no children, no house. His wife was telling him to curse God and die. He had balls all over him. And if you'll read the book of Job, Job does wonder a little bit what's going on, you know, and then the the three accusers come. They're really trying to help him, but they really don't do much. Because when that fourth man, when Elihu comes on the scene, now, buddy, that's when Elihu just rebukes them all and says, shut up, stand up, Job, get off your pity party, and this is what God has done for you. And then Job just really comes down to a place. He said, look, he says, I should have never been born. He said, but I'm here. And then Elihu said, look, at the end of this, it's going to be better than it was at the first. He got a double blessing. So we're looking for a double blessing. Amen. We're not looking for something worse. We're looking for a double blessing of what God's going to give us. So let us not have our pity parties. You know, Brother Branham, he had a few of them. So I don't think we're allowed to have them. We're supposed to trust God and go on. But we as humans question a lot of things. But God will give you the answer, I'll promise you. It'll be in the lives of the people in the Bible, and it'll be in the lives of the believers of today. We've got some good reports. Brother Ron Spencer's doing better. And you'll see that, you can see that online, where he's now doing a lot better than they thought. This virus has got in a lot of churches. Brother Richie Douglas and some of the different ones, they've had it. And we just keep praying that this will be something that is going to help us to not destroy our faith, because a lot of people it'll destroy your faith if you don't just say, well, I can't change anything, you know, God. But God's in control. God's the one that loves us. He knew this was going to happen before the foundation of the world, and he allowed it to come on us for a reason. And we need to take the reason and not be a reason of having pity party, but a reason to say, Lord, what's next? What's next? The believer, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So you and I need to just keep on walking. So this is the way we're going to walk for a little while until we see something different. I'll be speaking with Brother Dale. We talk every day. So we will let you know when that changes. So if you want to, at the end of the service, Brother Joe can put that back up so that we can be clear on what we're going to do from this day forward, all right? We only have a few here today, just four of us. So we're going to go through now the Feast of the Trumpets. If you'll pull Leviticus 23, verse verse 23, and I'm going to try to skip through some of it and get to the Feast of the Trumpets and not be very long, even though we are 10:15 in the morning. We can get through this. So Leviticus 23, verse 23. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we come to a day, Father, that has set aside, Lord, for us to worship you, Lord, honor the resurrection. Lord, I pray today that there be a resurrection in all of our lives, Lord, of the message of the hour and why we're living here and what we're doing. And realize why we're here and what purpose that we have in your great plan. As Brother Dale's been talking about, you having a plan and a purpose. Well, I believe we were all included in that plan. And I believe that we're not ever, as being the bride of Jesus Christ, this is one thing we can be sure of, is that we're never written out of the script. We're never written out of the play. We're never written out of the plan. We were part of the plan. Actually, I believe the plan was purposely designed for your bride, Lord, so that we can see and be overcomers in this age. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick. We know all the ones that we try to call, Lord, the list is getting long. Father, we pray that Lord, you'll hear our earnest prayer and that we will truly only believe, because all things are possible. There's nothing formed. There's nothing that man can come up with in the evilness of their heart or their mind, whatever this virus, wherever it came from. We know, Lord, that you are the King. And you have no one above you. And Lord, you love your bride because we stand by your side. And Lord, we know that nothing will come upon us, Lord, that's going to hurt us. And the footsteps really of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So we're all, Lord, as we saw Job walking through his life, Lord, he did some checking up to make sure everything was okay. And Lord, I believe that's where the prophet got the quote that we always quote, where Brother Branham tells us, he says, when you've done all you can do, stand. Yes. So Job did all he could do. He did everything he could do, and he just stood. And finally, Lord, you came on the scene, and you told Job exactly what was going on through Elihu, the young one. Father, we pray that you'd do that today. Come among us in a way that we can understand you, and your blessings will be upon us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Leviticus 23:23-25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. All right, so let's, if you want, could you pull that chart up for me, Brother Joe? We can be seated. Lord, I just bless you. Instead of going through all the different ones, let's just do it on the chart. And we may just skip all the way down. I may just highlight a little bit. But I want to get to the Feast of the Trumpets because I want to bring a little something out that I believe the Lord showed me yesterday on those trumpets. So when we were starting our series on this, the feast, I wanted you to see Israel's part of this, but I also want us to see that it's for us. If it's the feast of the Lord, then it's for all of us. All right. It's for everyone that's here that we have to go through. We have to, as a Christian, we have to go through these. Yes. Amen. Because Israel had to go through these. It was required. Now, a lot of times they didn't do it, and a lot of times they forgot to do it and all these different things. But you and I, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, puts us to where we are aware of all these things that are going on. We're aware that we have to, that there had to be something die for me. I couldn't die for myself. Brother Luis couldn't die for me. Brother Bob, nobody could die for me and then transfer that life into me to give me eternal life. Amen. All right. There was no animal. There was nothing, but a man had to do it. But to show in symbol form, God allowed the sacrifice to be done with animal blood to show that he's coming to be the ultimate Passover lamb, not just a lamb that you bring in and he's all perfect and he's not broken bone and all these things are fine, but you're getting ready to kill that lamb. Yeah. All right? So the perfect Lamb of God came on the earth, God with skin on him. John testified, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, showing that he was going to be that Passover lamb, that he was going to have to wait several years though and grow up and all those different things to come to a place of Calvary to where he's going to be the Passover lamb. As they were killing the lamb in the temple, the Lamb of God was dying on the cross for all their sins. They turned him down. They didn't care about him. He was just, to a Roman soldier, he was just another guy that they were going to crucify and throw him in a ditch. You know, they were just going to throw their body over in a pit, put some lime on him and be forgotten and never know this person ever again. Right. And that's the way that was. But now we know for a fact that that's not what happened. That Joseph of Arimathea took that body and put it in a tomb according to what the Bible tells us, that he was in the belly of the earth so many days and so many 3 days and three nights. And then while he was gone, the Feast of Unleavened Bread began the next day. They got all the leaven out of the house. Jesus Christ's body was laying in the tomb. His leaven was there. He was down in hell preaching to the souls in prison in his theophany, but his literal body was right there in that tomb. It didn't go with him. It stayed there in the earth. And then what happened was on the day of first fruits, that theophany comes back up and attaches. He's the bread. He's the bread of life. He tells you many times he is the bread that come down out of heaven. But remember, that wasn't unleavened bread. It was a loaf. When he fed the 5,000, he fed them loaves. He didn't feed them the unleavened bread, because it's like somebody asked, well, where'd you see this leaven come back? Listen, they always use leaven. This is just a time. The type of unleavened bread is take those 7 days, clean yourself out. In other words, get rid of all the false doctrine, get rid of all the sin and all the things in your house. All right? For those 7 days, or for those seven virtues, or for those seven, whatever you want to call it, seals. The seals to me is unleavened bread, all right? Because it's the Word of God. The Word of God is unleavened bread, the Word of God. But Jesus was standing in his leaven. He was the bread of life, which was a loaf, as Brother Brown said, and we didn't read it, but Brother Brown tells us many times, he said, wow, he said, just think about a man reaching and get a loaf of bread that had rose and been baked in an oven. And as he was giving it out, another piece just pops back on there. What kind of power was that? Jesus didn't have a little convection oven sitting beside of him that he, no. It was being made because he was the bread of life and it was connecting to him. He said, you keep eating this. In other words, you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Drink his blood. That's what he said. But we got to get the unleavened bread out of our soul, out for our sin that we have in our house. And even as we go up the statue of a perfect man, there's still things that we need to get out, the trash. That's what this symbol is, but it's just 7 days. So after this 7 days, they go back to eating bread with leaven in it. So it's just a symbol of those 7 days, or seven church ages, or whatever sevens you want to type it with, is a time that you and I set aside. It's a time that God set aside, that he quit dealing with the Jews, started dealing with the Gentiles, dealt with us through seven church ages, got all the leaven out of the people in each age. Yes. Each age had leaven, which was what? The doctrine of the Pharisees. Doctrinal issues is what Jesus was talking about. Right. So get that unleavened bread out. Now that doesn't mean that you've got to watch your types. That doesn't mean that after 7 days you put the leaven back in, but you have to put the leaven back in because of the Feast of Pentecost, because you got to live in this thing. Yeah, right. Christ had to live in this thing. Amen. Christ says, like I said, I'm the bread of life. Not that little small matzah. No, he was the bread. He was the full loaf of bread that came down out of heaven. My, the manna that they ate in the children of Israel, here it comes down and just falls down every day and it's already cooked or whatever it needs to be done, and it's little wafers. And the Bible says it had everything they needed. It even made their clothes stay on, you know, stay clean and everything else. So God really took care of them, like He's going to take care of us. So there's the next day, the 14th day of the first month is the Passover. The very next day starts unleavened bread. And then what happened when Christ was killed on the cross, it just so happened that all those 3 days lined up together. Because the first fruits is the morrow after the Sabbath, which that was the Sabbath, all right? That Saturday was a high Sabbath because you had unleavened, you had the Passover, unleavened bread, and then that Monday was the Feast of First Fruits. Yeah. Or that Sunday, sorry, that Sunday. Sunday right there. Look, Sunday was the Feast of First Fruits. And then that Feast of First Fruits is what? You go get your most mature plant. You bring it to the priest. The priest waves it before the people and says, hey, this is all good. We have the first fruit now, but that means that you can go out and gather whatever you got. And remember that spring feast, that was a barley harvest, not a wheat harvest. The wheat harvest is right here in the Feast of Weeks. The wheat matures after the barley. So we mature after Christ matures. Christ had to come to maturity first, but He was just common barley. He was just a common man. Common people heard Him gladly. He was not understood. But I believe, this is what I believe, that God has focused all His attention on the bride. Right. The wheat, the sustaining life, the wheat harvest is when He came on the day of Pentecost, which was 49 days. You had to count 49 days, seven sevens, 49 days until what? Until the next day, which was the Feast of Penta, or 50 days after Christ raised. Yes. That's why I said before, Brother Brown, you know, he's 30 to 40 days after His resurrection. See, we come on in here to he goes up and ascends, and about 10 or 11 days later is the day of Pentecost. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. So that's the same way with here. What happens with us? When we are harvested, or when we come to a resurrection, we're going to have 30 or 40 days before we are raptured, because Jesus was raptured about 40 days after His resurrection. Amen. Then He come what? He couldn't be here the same time the Holy Ghost is here. Because it's two people. Yeah. The same person came back on the day of Pentecost and didn't just cover the people. He went in the people. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible tells us. And thank God we had a prophet that could sit here and tell us, as we were talking about before when we were talking about the Passover, God sent us a vindicated prophet. He sent us an angel or a guide, the Holy Ghost. And what did Brother Branham come to do? I was thinking about this the other day. If you want to put it all in a nutshell, why did He have to come? He came to tell you you were sinless. His whole message is to tell you that you're the sinless, perfect bride of Christ. That's already been spoken in the Bible. It's been preached on for generations, but this comes to the full part of when we get over here. We'll see that in a minute. But we have to come. We come to a day of Pentecost where we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You didn't. And don't click off, but you didn't need a prophet to tell you that. Okay? You didn't need a prophet to tell you how to get the new birth. You wasn't supposed to. Now, Brother Brown did. But on the day of Pentecost was Peter, James, John, not really prophets, you might say, major prophets. The Holy Ghost fell on believers. All right? Then Paul, a prophet, comes on the scene. He gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So here you see that, take 1906 Azusa Street, when they had their Pentecost, It didn't take a prophet. It didn't take a man to walk out and say, hey, you need to be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. No, Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost came himself and baptized them into the body with signs and wonders and all these different things. And then, just as Paul came on the scene a little bit later after their Pentecost, 1906, here comes Brother Branham in the 30s, in the 40s, and he's telling these people that now God is telling you, hey, you got to be justified. Sure, you can speak in tongues. Sure, you can have these evidences, but you got to go back to the beginning. True Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell 2,000 years ago, to where those disciples, you say disciples, there's 120 in the upper room. They weren't all disciples. But they were in the upper room, and they were tutored by the Lord, justified and sanctified, walking in that direction. Jesus breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But it didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. But when it did, it fell on the people that had walked with the Lord himself for 3.5 years. So now, but then remember, from right here, in type from the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. Inside, say amen. All right? 2,000 years ago, there was a long period of time. There was 7 church ages from Pentecost to the Feast of Trumpets in type. Everybody got that? In type. Wasn't exactly 7 years, or it wasn't exactly 7 months. This is your longest gap, pretty much, from your fall feast, or from your spring feast to your fall feast. So, same thing with you and I. In 1906, Azusa Street, God came on the day of their Pentecost. In 1909, 1906, Azusa Street, they had their Pentecost. But they were speaking in tongues, shouting, and all these things. But what did it take? It took from 1906 to about 1912 to bring in the Jesus only water baptism. But then you got 1933 and then up to 47. It was a long period of time from that 1906 Azusa Street experience for God to bring a prophet on the scene to sound the original trumpet that Israel's been going through the whole time. Because remember, a trumpet is something that speaks. It's something that, listen, if you're standing out in, and well, we don't congregate anymore, but if you were standing out in a crowd and one man had a little horn and he might have been 300 yards from you, but if he goes, boop, what does that do? That turns everybody gets quiet and they turn their attention to see what that noise was all about. So God wasn't silent for all these other church ages. God wasn't silent from 1906 to 1933 or 30, whatever time you want to think, say that Brother Brown got his commission. But we know in 1947 is when we started listening to the message. Amen. All right, whatever he spoke before that was fine, and it was his growth period. But he sent a prophet to sound a trumpet. I know it's kind of getting a little off of my order, but you know what? This is what it's all coming to. This is like Daniel 70 weeks. That's right. This is Daniel 70 weeks. This is to the Jews, and they get a natural happening. Listen, they get natural. They don't get a natural trumpet, but the trumpets in Revelations 8 and 9 are real. But that's not the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, we'll read in a minute, it's a blowing of a noise to get your attention. Because what they're going to do is, and we'll look at it in a few minutes, the trumpet is sounded on the first day of October. All right, everybody got that? It's kind of strange. Luis is the only one sitting in the building. I'm looking over here where Brother Danny sits and all the different ones. So, I forgot. Brother Danny, if you're listening, I said Brother Donnie, but Brother Danny's right behind that. You want to come too. All right. But we come here to the first day, and we'll read it because that's what the Bible says. But now remember, there's 10 days, and we'll read it. And the Bible tells us, but I'm going to read you what they do in Israel. Because that trumpet is blown to, in other words, wake the people up from this long time of slumber. Right. They've went to work. They've done their job. They've paid their bills. I'm talking about natural. Natural Israel has done all this through the summer, heat of the summer. Right now, we're in the heat of the summer. Right now, probably we are in the heat of the summer of our Christianity, our heat part of our journey. But what happens during that heat part is when things start maturing.
Amen.
All right? Yes. And the bread starts rising. All right? Amen. I need to go get some water. I forgot to get the water. Excuse me. All right, so now we've come to in type. They've waited this whole summertime, and then what's going to happen right here? These fall feasts are a little bit different from these. Now, all right, you've had a harvest here of barley. You've had a harvest here of wheat. Now, remember, their cycle is different from ours. Israel is. In America, you know, we do all of our planting in the spring, and we're usually finished by here. But now there is a fall crop, and I'm fixing to plant a fall crop that we've probably never done before in our family. But a fall crop until we come to the time of frost. Well, now watch, there's only one more. There's another one right here, another feast. Another harvest, I mean. There's three harvests, here, here, and here. Or what's God doing? He's bringing the first fruit. He came on the day of Pentecost to bring us what? Sustaining life. He brought us that bread that Jesus was talking about. Right? So you look at and you see in the Feast of Pentecost what happened. You bring in two loaves of bread out of your habitation.
Amen.
You baked it in your oven. Amen. You baked that in your oven, and it was your responsibility to bake it with what you had, oil and flour or wheat that was ground up. And you made the loaves and you put them in the oven. You baked them to a certain temperature, and then you presented them to the priest. All right. So what are we doing now? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Peter, James, and John, and all those in the upper room, they were standing there, and you can type this all the way through justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, because God didn't send us a prophet after this long period of time to proclaim or to announce a trumpet to get back to what? To get back to the original faith of the fathers. Which is justification, sanctification. And that's what they were telling. He was telling them. That's why they started kicking him out a little bit later. He said, look, speaking in tongues is good, but the devil's speaking in tongues.
Right.
You can live a good sanctified life. He said, that's just good. He said, but you got to be justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and look at everything. Look at your life and all the things that you do. Well, what? There was a gospel trumpet sounded in our time. Just like we're going to see this Feast of the Trumpets.
Yes.
That's why, you know, that's why Brother Brown didn't preach the seven trumpets. That's all to Israel. He had already preached them in the sixth seal, because the sixth seal is going to happen to Israel when we're gone. Those trumpets are going to, if you'll read, we might read them later on, but not today. Each trumpet had a different thing that they poured out, and it wasn't good. Okay? It's under the judgment time that you and I are not here.
Amen.
See, you and I go through all this. We're harvested on this last Feast of Tabernacles because God's not just going to take our soul.
That's right.
He's taking this too.
Amen.
This tabernacle's going.
Yes.
And then when it does, then the Revelations 8, 9, and the trumpets, seven trumpets are going to sound through those two prophets, which we're not going to be here. But what are they going to call them back to? They're going to call them back to that day of atonement.
Amen.
All right, we'll get into that when we get into atonement. They call them back to the day of atonement. Not that Christ has got to be killed again. Everybody got that? Say amen. Christ has not got it. They not got to back way over here and say, Jesus Christ is, because see, they're looking for him to come.
Right.
They're looking for their Messiah to come. Right? Israel. The Jews. Not the whole. Maybe we say the religious ones, the Orthodox Jews. They're waiting on something that's already happened.
Correct.
So what the two prophets are going to do is God's going to give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. After we leave, he's going to fill them too with the Holy Ghost. And they're not going to relive this. In other words, Christ is not going to come back and die again. They're going to come to this Feast of Atonement. Now, what we're going to get to the Feast of Atonement. What it does, it shows you it's a mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, not A-M, but you're mourning for something that's already been done. Right. All right? So they're going to turn them back to and say, you missed this because this happened 2,000 years ago. And you missed it. Then what they're going to do is, excuse me, they're going to get the leaven out of their house. They're going to receive the Holy Ghost just like you did. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Not to make them bride because, see, the bride age is already over. Everybody got that? The bride age is over. We're gone. So there's no more bride age. Gentiles are bride only. Everybody got that? Now, there's some Jews scattered in there and different ones, but I'm talking about he's not even dealing with Israel until we leave. Now, don't get it in your head that God's not dealing at all. He's working over there right now. Remember, God's in motion all the time. He's not waiting for me and you to leave and, you know, doing this. No, he's working. But he can't do what he said he would do in the Bible while we're still here. Amen. So you and I had to come through. Let me run through this one more time because I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to see why I'm not preaching this just to tell you what Israel's doing. This is for me and you. Because this is what God does. He shows us that he died. Get the unleavened bread out. We got to come to maturity. Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then you got a journey you got to go through. Right. Months and months of journey. But you may be there one day. You say, well, I heard one sermon or I heard two sermons or... And that's okay. You can get the Holy Ghost without hearing the prophet.
That's right.
Amen? Without hearing of William Branham, you can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because he didn't come to bring the Holy Ghost to us like it was taken away. Right. No, the way to get it was taken away. It had been falsely taught so much till it took a man with a message, a trumpet, to not change. See, that trumpet doesn't change any of this. That Day of Atonement doesn't change any of this. We'll read it in just a minute. It's a realization of what God's done already.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
So you and I had to hear a gospel trumpet. We had to hear a sound. John heard a noise there in sound in Revelations 1. He said, I heard a sound of a voice as of a trumpet, and I turned to see the voice. Well, he wasn't looking for somebody a trumpet over there out hanging in midair. He knew that voice.
That's right.
So that's what you and I did. We knew that voice. Now, we may have been born again somewhere else. That's okay. I don't mind. You can say that if you want to. But you had to hear to become a bride of Jesus Christ under this church age messenger.
Right.
You had to hear a trumpet.
Amen.
You had to hear a blowing. You had to hear a trumpet sound in your heart.
Yes.
Because why does the world, why have you, I've heard many of you and myself too, you talk to people about God sending a prophet and all these different messages and the way he brought it and all this. And some people just, it's an uncertain sound.
Right.
It has no ring to it.
Yeah.
But what about the ones you see though that you've told about the message? And it just transforms everything that they think. Because it has to. That when that trumpet sounds of this message of the hour, see, it changes.
Amen.
And when a trumpet sounds, see, remember there was a trumpet to go to battle. There was a trumpet to retreat. There was a trumpet sound to move left. There was a trumpet sound to move right. Because that's what everybody depended on. So we depended on a true, certain sound. That's why Brother Brown preached, you know, if the trumpet has an uncertain sound, the Bible tells you that. Don't listen to it. But how do you know it's a certain sound? Because you know its characteristics.
Amen.
You've been taught. All right. Now, see, you can get the Holy Ghost and hear the trumpet at the same time. But some have come through other denominations, even through the Pentecostals, and I believe if you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's fine. But when you heard that trumpet, when you heard that little man say, good morning, friend, or when you hear a tape or hear somebody talking about the prophet of God, it's a different sound to that.
That's right.
But now when that sound comes, and it's a true sounding in your heart, you will gravitate to it, not run away from it. Because if you hear that true sound, it says, charge, you hear the cavalry, you know that there's a, I just got this. There was a command from above. There was a command from a general that was looking over the battlefield. He had the high ground. He had the high ground, and he could see what was going on, and he said, oh, we need to charge over here because the enemy's getting ready to be defeated, or there's a weakness in this line right here. He says, sound the alarm, charge in that direction. Well, those soldiers had confidence in that sound of that trumpet. Not just the sound of the trumpet, that the notes were perfect.
Right.
No, it was the authority behind that trumpet that they had been trained that you hear this certain key, this certain noise, you go in this certain direction and you charge. Because there's a general that knows what he's doing, standing up there watching over you. I hope you're running around in the living room. There's a general that knows what he's talking about, and he has given the command to charge. And you put your whole confidence. Listen, they put their whole life in it. Because what if he was saying, retreat? The enemy's built up a great big camp over here, and they're coming in this direction. But this other preacher over here says, no, I think we need to charge. He hits the charge sound, they're going to die.
That's right.
But this general has enough confidence, says, hey, pull back. So I like what General Robert E. Lee says. He said, let's live to fight another day. And that's what we're doing now with all this stuff going on. We're living to fight another day. We'll have our day. Brother Donnie Fallbush and I were talking yesterday. The devil can laugh all he wants to.
Amen. Right.
But the Bible says we look at that man and say, is this the man that caused nations to fall? He's just like a sot drunk on the side of the road. So we're not going to get the last laugh, but we do read the book and see who wins. So the devil does not win. But see, we know we have confidence in the general, though. When he says charge, then the full authority of that army is behind that. And that's what we were looking at here. When we saw a little prophet come on the scene, we saw the authority of God behind him so much that when he would speak, things would happen.
Amen.
Amen? And that's the same way that we're coming to with you and I. That's why Brother Ram talks about coming into speaking condition, where you get a message and a messenger. We know the messenger's true. We've just got to get under that message.
That's right.
To be the final voice of the final age, we've got to get under that general. But we've got to carry out what he said. Quit fighting about it. If he's wrong here and the dates are wrong and this is wrong and he's wrong here. And I heard somebody tell me the other day that a certain individual's not coming to this church anymore because I said Brother Branham was wrong. I never said Brother Branham was wrong. I said he made mistakes just like we make mistakes. And in the Daniel 70 weeks, he didn't make a mistake. He was right in what he was saying. We just weren't interpreting exactly what he was saying. Because you got to go back to the Bible. Go back to Daniel 9. And read the three periods. You say, but Brother Brown said, hold on a minute. You're listening to an uncertain sound. You hadn't got lined up with your general. You get lined up with a general. He tells us what to do, and we go do it. All right? Excuse me. So now we've heard that sound. We as believers. So what's happening in natural Israel? Natural Israel has went through all this. They've had their feast. They had to wait 49 days, and on the 50th day, they had a feast. Feast of Pentecost. All right? A one-day feast. That's why everybody was gathered in Jerusalem when the Bible said the day of Pentecost was fully come in the book of Acts. Yeah. Then they had to wait for a long period of time, several months, to have a trumpet blow. Now, what they're doing now is they haven't had this yet in the two prophets. Sure, they're doing this naturally. You understand what I'm saying? They're, if you look online, but what they've done, they've turned it into like a festival. Okay? Where they do all a lot of natural stuff. They eat this natural bread and they hide leaven so they can make a game out of it. Why? Because they don't think their Messiah's come. So they're saying, oh, this is the Old Testament. This is the Torah. We've got to do what it says. It's just become a ritual to them.
Right.
just like Brother Brown. Just like God said, these feasts and these sacrifices have become a stink in my nostrils because you're just going through the motions.
Yes.
All right? Because remember, this is when Jesus went into the temple right before Passover. If you'll read your Bible, and I think you'll see a quote where Brother Brown says, that's he was in the temple before the Passover, and the priests were selling animals, birds and doves and lambs. They were selling it in the temple so that they could put it up for so many days and then have this feast of Passover. Not that they went out there. This is why Jesus was mad, number one. They didn't go out there. It tells us to find a lamb. Go out and find the first fruit. Find the firstborn. Put him up for so many days. Check him out. In other words, you do have something to do with this. Okay? You have nothing to do with parts, but this part you got something to do with. And what they were doing was they were just going up and saying, hey, Joe, I need a lamb. Here's $5. Give me this lamb. And the priest says, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah.
We've checked him out. And probably they had not because they wanted the money. And the money was going on inside the church. And Jesus stood there and watched them.
Yeah.
And I believe it boiled inside of him. Yeah, the Bible says he got angry or whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
Because you know why? I believe it had been revealed to him that he was the Passover lamb. And that they were doing to them what they were going to do to him because that's what they did. They killed the Passover lamb and just, he hung between two thieves. He was just another person to Romans. He was just nothing. Didn't have any power. He was really a weakling.
Yeah.
But oh, no. God hiding himself in simplicity.
Right.
But he got a little bit ill with them charging money. Just like what happens in the Catholic Church. You pay money for novenas. You pay money for a priest to go and do his whatever to bypass telling Christ, I'm sorry. To bypass repenting to Jesus Christ for what you've done.
Right.
You just tell that priest and he says, oh, pay me $5, say 4 Hail Marys and everything's fine. Well, see, Jesus Christ, if he was here standing on earth, he'd do the same thing to them that he did to the ones back then. All right. So, but we see the natural feasts are done every year. They just keep doing them.
Yes.
But you and I see, and Jesus Christ at that time, was writing this for them to do to remember him, to remember Jehovah. At that time, he was Jehovah. To remember Jehovah, because remember, these are the feast of the Lord.
That's right.
All right? Remember the feast of the Lord. What? You're supposed to not look at the priest or look at Joe or somebody right beside of you or whatever. You're supposed to look to Christ.
Hey.
This is showing the Christ being the first fruits. That he was going to bless them on this day of Pentecost. That he was going to blow a trumpet for them to come to a place to take 10 days and really check yourself out.
That's it.
All right? Then the Day of Atonement to remember that back here in the spring of Nisan 14, there was a lamb guy that died.
Amen.
For your sins.
That's right.
Amen? Even in the natural, when you say that, Brother Luis, even in the natural, that makes you feel, man, you take that one day. And the Lord brings back to your memory that there was a little bitty lamb that got up on, that you threw up on the altar, cut his throat, and he died. You went through all these things, sure, but you come right here to this Day of Atonement, you realize what Christ has done for you. See, that's the same way with you and I. What really brings us close to God is this message of the hour has totally righted the ship. We've been denomination and all this, and Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all these questions and all these seals and Daniel 70 weeks.
Yes.
God brought us a true trumpet to right the ship so that we know what direction we're going in. We have we look back to our spiritual rudder. You always got to look back to your spiritual rudder. That's why that it bothers me when we talk about Daniel 70 weeks and some of you brothers were there when we had the ministers meeting. That was 20-something ministers that didn't even have the book. They wanted to come there and they had their tablet with their number one quotes on it. But they never studied it out, never read the book, probably even never listened to the tape. Why? They've always been told to stay away from it.
Right.
Some of them didn't even have the book.
Yeah.
Some of them might have had the book, but it looked brand new. All of ours looked worn out because you go it over and over and over again. But you know what? We studied to show ourselves approved. We heard the correct trumpet. Now, I'm not saying those ministers didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
By no means. But they didn't have a true teaching or a true trumpet sound. We know what the general said. Daniel 9:24, there's three distinct periods. A 1 week, another, a 62, seven, is 69, and then one more week's left after the rapture. I don't care what anybody says.
Yes, right.
The Bible says that when he shall make a covenant with many for 1 week, who is that? The Antichrist. Listen, we're already gone by then.
Amen.
But he makes a covenant with these Jews for 1 week after we leave. And that 1 week will finish 70 weeks because 69 is already determined.
Right.
You just read your Bible. You got to make the quotes fit the Bible. You can't make the Bible fit the quotes because we know what the general said.
Amen.
All right. Jesus Christ is our general. Brother Branham is not our general. But he's right there. He's right there that it was a voice that God spoke through, a vessel, a trumpet that God spoke through to get us the right sound when we needed it.
Right.
And we needed it in this end time. We needed a correct sound. Why? Because we're going to take a tabernacle change.
Amen.
We're not, millions of people have took a spiritual change. Everybody got that? Millions. There's going to be millions of bride that takes a spiritual change. But there's only going to be one group that takes a natural change and not have to see death.
Amen. That's it.
And that's the Feast of Tabernacles that Brother Brown said you and I are now feasting under. It's the Feast of Tabernacles where they go set in a booth.
Right. Amen.
But we'll get to that. But see, that's your last harvest. That's when the reapers are going to come and they're going to harvest. And that happens in the fall. One day number one of October, day number 10 of October, and then day number 10 through 15 and 15 through 20. We'll get to it. And we see that they go then for a period of time. They sit in the booth. But see, you and I, spiritually, though, we go through every one of these. I want you to realize that every one of these you and I have to go through. We have to go through a time of Pentecost, and because we're going to read about the trumpets in just a minute. you and I have to realize we've come to a day of Pentecost. That we've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all right? And then we've got this long journey. Now, you say, well, now I heard this trumpet back over here. That's all right. But the Feast of the Trumpets is when you come to one day or one time in your life where you say, that ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen. Yes.
Hattie Wright was a born-again believer. She had probably heard Brother Branham since the 30s, 40s maybe. She'd went to church. But one day, she come to a place of a third pull to where it wasn't Brother Branham speaking. It was him saying, Hattie, you've come to a spot. Because when she said that ain't nothing but the truth, what she was doing was vindicating that was the truth, what the trumpet was sounding.
That's right.
Everybody got that? So that's what you and I must come to. That we know that the truth of what sounded, when we say that ain't nothing but the truth, it changed the world for two children. So that's what it needs to be for you and I. That's why we talk about coming to speaking condition, and then we come to the Day of Atonement. Because I believe we truly got to realize, and see, you got to look back. When they come to that Day of Atonement, look what they do. They back up all these months and realize way back over here in the beginning of your journey, something died for you. So don't ever forget Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget Calvary. Don't ever forget this man died for you. But you and I have come through all these feasts, and we're coming around this way, and we're heading to this right here. But let's stop right here and let's read just for a minute. I know we got to skip through, Brother Joe, all the quotes down to the very last one here somewhere where it talks about the Feast of Trumpets. If you can find that, Brother Joe, it says trumpets, and it's right at the almost the last two pages. Where we're going to talk about just for a minute. You'll be fine. We'll just talk about it. Because the Feast of the Trumpets is not, it's a one day of blowing of the trumpet, all right? So they went through that long period of time. Like I said, we've labored all these church ages. We've labored through all these. Listen, folks, we're going to have a glorious time because, look, the same trumpet that called you here, what did he tell Brother Charlie Cox? He said the same sound, same voice that said turn around is one day going to say, come up. Hey. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, we're good. So the same voice. So it's not going to be, you're going to hear a sound here and it's going to be different here.
That's right.
The same loud voice, the prophet says, that raised Lazarus. The same trumpet that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same trumpet that's going to sound through a group of people.
Amen.
And bring the dead out of the ground. Because Jesus Christ won't be here. See, remember, he left right before Pentecost, and he's not seen again until he comes back in two witnesses. Now, sure, he's in his bride, but he's hidden.
That's it.
Yeah. Jews think we're still dogs. We're still dogs to them. We have not, oh yeah, you got religion and you got, you know, this Jesus man. He was a good man. He's a prophet. And then you got the group that says, well, Muhammad was a good prophet, and this one, Buddha was a good prophet. And then, you see what I mean? See, when somebody starts sounding, that's why when I was with those two Mormons, and nothing against the Mormon doctrine, I just can't, it's not a familiar trumpet sound.
Right.
But you hear what their doctrine is. Now, to them, that's a trumpet. But it's not blown in the right way. Their general was not the general. Okay?
Right.
We've got to believe that the right general sent the right message, and we're hearing the right trumpet. Because when we hear other people talk about, especially have you been sitting in a room somewhere? Or I remember we were sitting years ago at a certain meeting with 500 or 600 people. And this brother was preaching away, and basically when we were babies, there was eternal life in us. And I mean, all the people were just up and shouting, except for about 6 or 8 of us. Brother Richard Wilson was there, and all my family and some of the people from church were sitting down this row. And we just sit there. Because I don't believe that.
Right.
I believe you had representation. I believe God gave you an angel because he knew by foreknowledge where you would go and what you would do.
Right.
And where that seed would land. But you weren't born with eternal life in your soul.
Amen.
It wasn't but one person, and that's Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Period. Yeah, and Adam, but Adam wasn't a baby.
That's right.
Adam was full grown. All right? So what happened? They were hearing a sound. Right? They were hearing a trumpet. They were hearing someone speak, bringing their view. And probably 550 of the 600 people, or 590 of the 600 people, were shouting their, you know, their shoe heels off, what we always say. And we didn't. Why? Because it was an uncertain noise.
Yeah.
And I don't say that belittling, but sometimes you just hear noise. Because
right.
When a trumpet sounds from God, it always has a meaning.
Yes.
Remember, he doesn't do things frill. He doesn't just stand up and say, and then there's nothing behind it. No, whenever God sounds a trumpet, there's something going to happen. All right? So that's what's going to be with us here. Excuse me. We heard the trumpet sound of this message, And then we've got to realize that it is the true sound of a trumpet.
Right.
Now, listen, but be careful. You say, well, I heard Luther's trumpet because it was right. It was right for his day.
Right.
It was right for his concert.
Right.
His concert was different from ours. His concert was justification would take him into a receiving of the baptism of the Holy Ghost because that's all God required. He required this sheet of music for Luther.
That's it.
All right? Now, Wesley, he required another sheet of music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not doing away with this sheet of music because this was included in it.
Right. Right.
Amen? But then you come to where we see Pentecost. They blew a trumpet. God blew a trumpet. But remember, God kept moving on. He turned the page to another sheet of music. So you and I in the bride age, but look, you know where we've come to? Look here, where we've come to. That's the last sheet of music. There's nothing after this. So there's no other sound that we get. Now, we know that sound goes to Israel. That trumpet goes to Israel, and they hear the sound of those two witnesses, which calls them back to the Day of Atonement. We'll get into it later on. The Day of Atonement, where they mourn. In Zechariah and all the different places, they separate from their wives. They go and mourn because they had killed their Messiah and didn't even know it.
Right, right.
But God said, oh, stop, don't worry about it. This is done to preserve life. I was going to get a Gentile bride out of this, and then you're still coming in.
Hey.
Amen? So here we go. Trumpets. Here we are at the trumpets. We'll just for a few minutes. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, all right, the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath. All right, there's your Sabbath. You have a Sabbath. Doesn't matter if it's the seventh day. It's a special day. What was the special day you heard the trumpet? You got to have one. Well, I just heard it. No, there was a special day when that trumpet sounded, like I said before, and something rang different from any other sound you heard. You've been hearing messages from Baptists, and Luis come from Baptist into Pentecost and then up to the message. There were sounds going off everywhere. There's sounds going off all in the world, but there's one true trumpet. And when Israel come to that one day, the first day of October, the first day of the month, they had a blowing of the trumpet. Everybody stopped, and I'll read the commentary about what happened, because the Bible really doesn't tell you anything. It just says you should have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation.
Right.
You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. All right, let's go to Isaiah 58:1. This is kind of, and actually this is the scripture that the Lord called me to preach on right here. I was reading Isaiah 58, getting ready to do a Sunday school class, and I read this, and I said, June, read this right here and see what this says. And June read this scripture right here, and she said, God's calling you to preach. So this is it right here. But look, cry aloud, and that's me. That's Tony. I'm aloud. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And then it continues on down talking about more of the blowing of the trumpet and telling different things. But this is, look, a voice like a trumpet. So a voice has always been compared to a trumpet. And we'll, next Sunday, if you go to Revelations 1, John says, I heard a voice that sounded like a trumpet talking to me. So there's your symbolism. He didn't hear, he said he heard somebody say, John. And when that voice rang in his ear, he knew that was that man he had seen on the shores of Galilee. He knew that was that guy that said, some of you will not, die until you see the Lord coming in his glory. Well, see, that's John, to John, that was a trumpet he knew. Had no uncertain sound because when he turned, remember when he turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks and one like the Son of Man in the seven golden candlesticks. His surprise was is when he turned to not just see Jesus standing there. All right. But he saw Jesus, in the seven golden candlesticks, in those seven stars, messengers that brought these people. Because remember, without people, you have no church ages. You got to have believers in every church age. You can't just have seven stars and, oh, these are great men. But these great men right here were nothing without somebody hearing that sound, that message, that trumpet. I mean, what would be Brother Branham if he just came and preached in 1947 and 20 people heard him and nobody believed him? And why, he just, you know, he just went out of existence. He did just, you know, because many have done that. But no, he had a message. And it corresponded with the Holy Ghost that was in those believers. Ah. Now, some got for the fishes and loaves. Some got caught for the healing. But remember, Brother Brown said that was the bait on the hook. It was bait.
Right.
But the hook was a message. There was only a certain other group that had took that page from Pentecost and had turned it to the message of the hour. Amen?
Amen.
And then he goes off the scene, and then all these, a lot of people, they leave. They didn't believe to start with. But they leave. But here you and I, we've made this long, don't pull the chart back up, but from that long day of Pentecost all the way down to this last church age, me and you have heard a trumpet sound.
Right.
And it was a voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Ezekiel 33 verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people. And say unto them, when I bring the sword. Now watch this. Watch this right here. This is happening in this day as we speak. You have got to determine. Everybody with me?
Amen.
You got to determine whether your watchman is telling you the right thing or not. Watch. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people. And say unto them, when I bring the sword. What is the sword? Sword is the word. When I bring the word upon a land, and if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, their pastor, you might say if you want to, or their prophet, you can go on all the way up there too if you want to. If when he seeth the word come upon the land, or the sword, what, this is, listen, excuse me, let's back up for a minute. What is this? There's a watchtower. That's why they call it a watchman on the watchtower. Brother Brown preached watchman, what of the night? Good sermon to listen to. But that watchman is, there's one on all four corners of the city. And their job is to stay up. And they didn't have binoculars back then, but they had real good eyesight. And they were way up here above everybody else. Does that sound familiar? And they had an eagle eye. And they could watch a long way away, and when they would see maybe a light coming, then they would see dust, hear horses. They would scream down, the army's coming, the enemy's coming. Or he had to make, this is what I like, he had to make the choice whether that was army or friend or foe. Because it could just be a bunch of your own people coming in. You don't want to shoot them.
Right.
All right. So the watchman had a lot to do. Now watch. When he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. When we see a false doctrine, when we see little things in our lives, little things that we do, God sends us a pastor. That's why we need a pastor. We need somebody with some leaven on him.
Yes, that's right.
That God can speak through.
Amen.
Listen, God spoke to a prophet. No doubt. But you can't take out, there we go back to the Bible, we can't take out Ephesians, and we can't take out the two loaves, which is Christ and the bride. All right, you can't take that God's not going to use. And look, you can't take this right here away either. Then whosoever, watch this now. Now look, the watchman's job is to warn the people. Now, it's the people's job to listen or not.
Right.
Everybody got that? Then whosoever, people in the city, you know, you got them standing outside, you know, and they're talking and they're, of course, social distancing, and they're talking about work and they're talking about this and they're talking about that. And then all of a sudden they hear the noise of a warning to warn you the enemy's coming. That was the watchman's job. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning. Ah, that's just old brother Dale up there. He's just blowing that trumpet again. Yeah. Just keep blowing the same old trumpet. Preach the same thing over and over again. Brother Bob up there, he's up there meddling all the time. And Brother Luis and Brother Aaron. Ah, they're just... Now look, if the sword come, our false word, come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Whew. But he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
Amen.
But if the watchman see the false doctrine come, or see the sword come, or the enemy come, and blow not the trumpet.
Amen.
Oh, I think that's just a very small army. I think they're going to turn in another direction. This old false doctrine about this thing and another, I don't worry about it. No, it's an enemy.
Right.
It's an enemy. Yeah. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Easy. I'm telling you, folks, everybody wants to be a pastor.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Come on. That's right.
You read that?
Right.
It's required. What I've always said, people bicker. Number one, they not here, but people bicker about the pastor taking tithe. Listen, excuse me. The Bible tells us to pay our tithe.
Correct.
You got the monkey off your back when you pay your tithes. You've done what the Bible says.
Yes.
God will bless you. You will not have to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't pay my tithes. You pay your tithe. Now what A does with it, pastor, whoever does with it, he's got to talk to God about it.
Right.
So it's not your job to bicker what he's doing with it. It's not.
That's it.
You've done your job.
Amen.
When you do your job, you leave it alone.
That's right.
Because you start bickering, it's going to come back on you. Mm. Amen? But look, that's why we need to, if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet. So see how important the blowing of a trumpet is, or the sounding of a message is, and a sounding of the correct message. Now see, Dwight Moody was good. Brother Branham said he took millions of souls into heaven. Okay? But they're all dead now, laying in a grave, waiting. The prophet of God now, he comes up and he blows his trumpet. Now he's one of the seven stars. He's not just a trumpet blower. He's not second chair and third chair if Brother Paul was here, and looks like he left. He must be coming back. He left his horn and his flute here. So, amen. What a sign. Anyway, but if he's sitting here though, and excuse me, goodness, and he hears a sound that's not familiar. Listen, if you hear a sound that's not familiar, don't immediately cut it off. But you gotta test it with your spiritual angel, the one that was given to guide you, the one, your Holy Ghost.
Right. Right.
Because sometimes you may hear something, but then a long time after that, you see it come to fruition. We're instant people. We like instant gratification, instant answers. We like instant this and we like instant that. Everything's instant. We got to have it today.
Yeah.
But remember, from the Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Trumpets, there's several months in there. There's a period of time that God is allowing us to go through things and to hear. You know, Dwight Moody, we say, okay, that's great. But God moved to another page of music.
Amen.
Okay? He brought the concert up, and if Brother Paul was sitting second chair and third chair, well, see, that means you're second best and third best.
Right.
But when you sit first chair, you're the best of the best.
Amen.
So Brother Branham sat first chair. Remember, the conductor's Jesus Christ. But Brother Branham sat first chair because he knew exactly what that conductor wanted done.
Amen.
So he played first chair, the sound that we should hear. You say, well, you just said he made mistakes. He made human mistakes. But folks, when it comes to doctrine, he cannot make a mistake.
That's right. Amen.
No way could he make a mistake, because then God couldn't require us to come to full adoption if we only had a piece or we had something missing. Sometimes we don't know what we have. We have the pure unadulterated word, just like Jesus Christ standing on the earth 2,000 years ago in human flesh and him speaking to the disciples. We have that same message.
Right, amen.
And if Jesus was wrong, we're all wrong.
Yeah.
And when we go to judgment, we can say, you were wrong. And he can't judge us.
That's right.
But if we were chosen in him, Brother Dale's been preaching, we're chosen in him. Jesus Christ has been judged the righteous one, the true conductor, the true trumpet sounder, the true watchman.
Amen.
Now he has delivered, now watch this though. He has delivered though, Bible, he has delivered that message, but some pick it up and go, well, I think he's three. Now that's not Jesus Christ sounding the trumpet.
Right.
Man has come in and added a note. So if you add a note, I don't know much about music, but if you add a note, though, and the note's not added to the whole, everybody else playing flute and trumpet and all these other, or all the other things, and you've got one note missing, or you've got one note added, what does it do? It ain't right. It messes everything up. So what we've got in this day, folks, is we've not got just a hit and miss. We've not got just a second chair or somebody that might miss a note every once in a while. We have a star in the hand of him in Revelations. One of those seven stars was the spirit that was with William Branham, in William Branham, and telling us what God's mind is. How can somebody say, let's go back in the back part of God's mind when he can't go in all in the whole and get it 100% right? He didn't say, let's go back in a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, the back part is a piece, but that's your thinking. That's your intelligence.
Amen.
But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And then we'll read a little bit more, but now you don't have this, so I'm going to read it real slow. Excuse me, got some congestion today. Forgive me. This comes from the internet. Boo, sorry. But I was looking at it because sometimes you know, the Lord just says, we're going to have one day of blowing the trumpets, and then that's all it says. But you have to get the history behind it. And the Jews have the history behind it of what God wanted them to do, because this has been repetition for them for, listen to this. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years, right?
Right.
Moses was 2,000 years before.
Mm-hmm.
So for 4,000 years, the Jews have been going through this.
Yeah.
So they must have something right. We know they're going through it in symbol form. But man, you wait till them 144,000 realize that they've been going through that for 4,000 years, and then them two witnesses go, there's Jesus Christ, the Passover. There he was laying in the tomb as unleavened bread. There he was, the first one out of the grave as the first fruits. And on the day of Pentecost, remember in your history, Jews, remember in your history, something happened on that day of Pentecost in AD 30.
Right.
Something happened. Because it was noised abroad that something happened. Now, y'all might have shot it down, but now, see, remember in AD 70, God promised he's going to destroy it all. So he just dispersed them everywhere. But listen to this. What is the Feast of Trumpets? I'm going to read this from gotquestions.org, but I really like it. Because remember, this is, as we said before, listen to me, their religious calendar started on Nisan or Abib or March, April. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's their religious calendar. That's the one God told them to go by. Because
right.
He said to Moses, this will be the first day of the month for you, which will be the Passover. So that's their yearly calendar for religious services or religious feast. But their civil calendar, what they go by now, their civil calendar starts in October, which is what we're talking about now. We're talking about Sivan, or I can't remember the name of it, but we'll get back to it in a minute. But listen to this. The Feast of Trumpets marked the beginning of 10 days of consecration and repentance before God. So it really doesn't tell that in the Bible, but it does. You read between the lines. If you'll bring that chart back up, Brother Joe. Excuse me. Goodness. Yeah. I picked up a frog somewhere. COVID. That's no COVID frog. Hush. So you got right here, which is Tishri 1. All right. So now we're here at Tishri 1. Now from Tishri 1 to 10... The Bible tells us on the 10th day there should be a day of atonement. But watch what they do in between that. Now watch what this. Now you and I come through this. We heard a trumpet sound. Something's going to happen because see, there was a long time in here, but a trumpet has sounded an alarm.
Right.
Because there's three more feasts that's got to be done in the year. Everybody got that? And these are happening, boom, 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 you know, pretty close together, long period of time, and then boom, boom, boom. That's why I say now. You say, well, Brother Wade, we've heard the trumpet. If Brother Brown's message is the trumpet. I'm talking about the 100%. The number one chair trumpet.
Right.
Believe that number one chair trumpet, all right? Which now is fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. If we stay, as Brother Brown said, if we stay under that star, right? Under her messenger, she'll be the final voice of the final age. Under her messenger, under her star. Because see, he's the star of the show. All right? We know Jesus Christ is the star, but he sent a message because he has seven stars in his hand. We got a picture of it back there. Seven stars in his hand. And those people, if you get it, you're going to get it from them seven.
Right.
But now remember, I want to ask you a question here for those of you that that believe that we need to just listen to tapes. I got a question for you. Columba was the messenger to the fourth church age, correct? According to Brother Branham, say what's on tape.
Correct.
Columba wasn't even in his church age.
Right.
He died before his church age began. He was actually in Martin's church age. But Columba's message. Now, how can a dead man preach?
Mom.
Right. Hmm. Because listen, Luther was here. Luther never had a denominational bone in his body. He brought the pure unadulterated word for the time, one of the seven stars that God depended on to bring the message. But when he died,
right,
some carried on the truth, some carried it to denomination. Columba, he must have preached. We know Brother Trevor had went over there, and I like the little snippets that he sent back to us about how that Columba was a messenger of light. He had light around him the whole time. There was light. Everywhere he was at, there was all kinds of lights and different things. But remember, if he died before his church age began, his people, he was a star. He died. Well, then who took them through 1,500 years of dark ages? The preachers. The ministers that caught the message of Columba.
Amen.
Caught that message and didn't even have a tape recorder or books to put it on. It was by memory. But God, by the Holy Ghost, give them enough memory to remember what Columba said. And they carried 1,500 years. by the preaching of Columba and him not even being in the church age. So if you want to listen to tapes all your life, that's fine with me. I it's like I said, I ain't here to fight about that. I didn't hear that trumpet sound.
Right. Amen.
I didn't hear that trumpet. The trumpet I heard was from a fivefold ministry that was sounding the true watchman that was sounding the truth that was coming, whether it be enemy or whether it be friend or foe, right?
Yes.
That's why I said we need to align ourselves with the truth.
Amen.
Amen. So, but watch this. But so, the Feast of Trumpets. So they went through this. Okay, let's say we're Jews for a minute. Okay, we're Jews for a minute. We celebrated the day of Pentecost. We had this great big feast. We gathered all the wheat in. We got it in the garner. We're making our bread. We're making our this. We're just having a good time. It's hot.
Yeah.
We're trying to make it through the air with air conditioning or not. We're trying to make it through. And then all of a sudden, we know that come October the 1st or Tishri the 1st, there's going to noise come. That noise wasn't before. But on this day, and I'm going to try to get it. I had it one time and I cannot find it. Maybe my brothers back there can find it. Brother Luis, somebody can. Somebody sent me a video showing me the literal day of the Feast of Trumpets in Israel and how many of them horns. That whole city, you can't hear nothing but horns. And they got the little shofar, which is the one that we call that Joe got us back here, the ram's horn. Then they've got them great big old things that curl around and I'll get it, that curl around and go way up there high. Some of them have to sit it on something to blow it, or they have to sit it down to blow it. But man, what a noise.
Amen.
But what does it do? Hey, something's fixing to happen.
That's right.
Something's coming. We've had a long time of just slumbering and sleeping and going through the message of the hour, but I believe that you and I now have come to the Feast of Trumpets.
Amen.
Because watch, it's beginning of 10 days of consecration and repentance before God. It is one of seven Jewish feasts or festivals appointed by the Lord and one of three feasts that occur in the autumn. Now we know that, just leave that chart up there. Its name, the Feast of Trumpets, began on the first day at the new moon of the seventh month. Its name comes from the command to blow trumpets in Leviticus 23:24 and Numbers 29:1-6. It is also called Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year, which now that becomes their civil calendar that the civilization runs off. This is their first day of the year, and they go this way. All right, everybody got that? Because it marks the beginning of the Jewish civil calendar. During this celebration, no kind of work was to be performed, but burnt offerings and a sin offering were to be brought before the Lord. In the Leviticus passage, the word trumpet blast are a translation of the Hebrew root word, teruah. That's what that says, yom teruah. Which means, listen to this, a shout or a blowing? A shout. The shout, the voice, the trump.
Amen.
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a, huh? Shout. You say, oh, brother, that was back in 1963. It was to Brother Branham in 1963. But was it to you? You got to have your own.
That's right. Amen.
Trumpet sound. Your own shout. Your own voice to come to a place, because watch. It appears that the shofar, or ram's horn, was to be blown at this time as it was on the other new moons. That's in Psalms 81:3. I'll see if we can post this next Sunday. Sunday afternoon. Brother Aaron will be here Wednesday. Jewish tradition indicates that both the ram's horn and the priestly silver horn, the Hazariah, were used in the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, listen to this, was important for several reasons. First, it commemorated the end of the agriculture and festival year. Because, see, that's the last month That's not the last day there's a feast. There's three more, but they happen boom, 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 just like this happened, boom, boom, boom. Right? So they know that, listen, remember, we're natural Israel. We come to this day and the whole city is nothing but blowing trumpets. You don't do anything. You just grab your trumpet and you go to blowing your trumpet. Well, that's in the natural, but they know that 10 days later, they've all got to go into their house and be sorrowful for one day. That's what the atonement's for. Then they get happy again a few days later because they got to go get in their little booth and they make their little flowery things, and we'll get into that a little bit later, and I'll show you some pictures of it a little bit later. First, it commemorates the end of the agriculture and festival year. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice, a trumpet. When the trumpet of God shall sound, time shall be no more, and all these different things, when the voice, trumpet. See, we've been through this message for all these years. We've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've been through all this, but there's going to be one time that you and I are going to hear a shout.
That's it. Amen.
It's not the shout to get in the message. It's to shout to get out of here. Because this is the last push. This is the last harvest. There'll be no more Gentile harvest after this right here. Amen? Now, sure, there'll be tares. I'm talking about wheat. But now remember, wheat got harvested here. What gets harvested here? Fruit. Fruit gets harvested. Oh, we'll get into that. It's really good. Because I am the vine, ye are the branches. Where's the fruit? Fruit on the vine? Nope, fruit's on the branches. Amen. So what's he going to do? He's going to harvest your fruit. We'll get into that. It's really good. All right, now look. Also, the Day of Atonement fell on the 10th day of this month, and the festival of booths begins on the 15th day. The blowing of the trumpets on the first day of the month heralded a solemn time of preparation for the Day of Atonement. So that was the beginning. It was just a one day blowing of the trumpet, but you realized something's fixing to happen.
Amen.
The blowing of the trumpets on the first day of the month heralded a solemn time of preparation for the Day of Atonement. This preparation time was called the 10 days of repentance, or the days of awe, A-W-E. The trumpet sound was an alarm of sorts and can be understood as a call to introspection and repentance. So we've been through this long church age. We've been through this long time of being in the message. The prophet's been gone for 60 years almost. We've heard trumpet.
Right.
We've heard the gospel trumpet.
Amen.
But remember, when you get over then them other trumpets, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the time shall be no more and all these different things, that's different.
Right.
Not a different horn, but he's not blowing it through the one guy anymore. He's blowing it through the people. Because maybe we can find that, but Lord, what a noise. Well, now one person can't make a lot of noise. You put one guy in the middle of 2 million people or 10 million people in the city of Israel, and he blows some little, like a little flute like this right here. Who's going to hear?
Yeah. Right.
No, but when the people, when the people pick up the message,
amen, right,
and they begin to blow a trumpet, they begin to proclaim liberty. Remember, a trumpet had to sound to proclaim liberty in that 50th or Jubilee year.
That's it. Amen.
The Feast of Trumpets, along with the other six festivals of the Lord, foreshadowed certain aspects of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The prophets linked the blowing of trumpets to the future Day of Judgment. And I read this one, but I didn't bring it. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Now, who are we? We're the daughters of Zion. We're going to Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. That is Joel 2:1 and also Zephaniah 1:14 through 16. In the New Testament, we see that the Lord's second coming will be accompanied by the sound of a trumpet.
Amen.
We know that. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. And we'll read that next Sunday to begin right there at the Feast of Trumpets and go to the Feast of Atonement. But listen to this, because we'll read these. You can't rule out Revelations 8 through 9. Each of the judgments in Revelations 8 through 9 is signaled by a trumpet. It's going to take two witnesses to go over there, right, and sound a trumpet to release the seven trumpets.
That's right. Amen.
We'll get into that.
Amen.
But now look, you got to remember something. The Feast of Trumpets is different from the seven trumpets, but there has to be a blowing of the trumpet to me and you first. Before it can go and be a natural seven trumpet judgment to the world through the two witnesses. Everybody got that? That's why Brother Branham wanted to preach the trumpets, preach the seven trumpets, preach the seven trumpets, preach the seven vials. Remember, he was pushing, he was trying to get a building, he was trying to do that. And then God told him, finally told him, he said, God finally told me the other day, he said, I went into the room and said, God, why? He said, they're not to you. They're not to the Gentiles. Remember, he's a Gentile prophet.
Amen.
He said, they're not to you. He said, they're to the Jews, and you've already preached them supernaturally in the sixth seal.
That's right.
Wow. He'd already preached them and didn't even know it. He was a prophet. Ah, he learned, just like you and I learn. But when it hit him, then he goes and preaches the Feast of the Trumpets. And he brings the Feast of the Trumpets in, talking about the Lord coming, the Day of Atonement. So will the trump of God call us to heaven and warn the world of coming judgment. So Brother Brown preaches Feast of the Trumpets. He said, I wondered all my time why the seven trumpets are not to us. Because they're plagues. And they're to Israel. But the Feast of the Trumpet is what? Hey!
That's right.
Get ready!
You're
coming to a place to realize where you are,
yes,
and what you're doing here. That's the Feast of Atonement. To make Israel realize that there was a lamb way back over here to us 2,000 years ago, to them several months ago, that they remember that priest put that lamb on the altar, slit his throat. The very next day, they went through and cleaned all the leaven out of their house, eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Then they started into a barley harvest, and they had to bring a first fruit into the priest. Priest had to wave it before they could eat.
Right.
Come up to the day of Pentecost, which to them it's another festival, something to eat, because they're wheat harvesting. See, that's all natural. Then, like I said, you got all this time that really nothing's going on, and then all of a sudden, God says, hey, wake up.
Amen.
Got a little work to do. Because I'm going to make you realize, as a human being, God helps us to realize what he's done for us. We come to that Day of Atonement. Listen, Jesus Christ don't have to get it back on the cross again.
That's right.
We just got to realize that he did get on the cross and that he died for me. Then what's going to happen here? That's going to move out to the Feast of Tabernacles, where there is a joy. Because this is the final harvest. God's going to finally harvest all of his fruit. And the fruit of my labor and your labor and everybody else's labor, Brother Dale's labor, the fruit of the labor is going to be harvested.
Amen.
And we're going to be taken to a marriage supper.
Praise the Lord.
Of the Lamb. Let's stand to our feet. Those of you that are home, God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's just bow our heads and say a prayer and be dismissed. you have your own service or prayer service or whatever you need from the Lord. He's present to give you what you need. He's in your tabernacle. We don't have to find a booth to get in. He found a booth one day.
Amen.
And it's you.
That's right.
And he wants to show his fruit through me and you. Amen. The fruit of the harvest is nigh. It won't be long. We've been through this long. I was thinking the other day, you know, we as younger people haven't been through what Brother Dale and some of the other Brother Paget, I was thinking about all them, what they've been through. And how they've seen people blow uncertain sounds, blow other trumpets, and them have to get up on the tower and have to warn people of it. You know, some people say, well, why do you have to warn us about... I just read to you why we have to warn you. We have to warn you about these false things. Because you know what? It's required of you if you don't do it. That's why I said we... It's just hard to say that everybody wants to be pastors. It's a big responsibility. And Brother Dale shouldered this load for a long time. And God's helped him. He's standing right there in the middle of that virus and doing just fine. So we ask the Lord's protection on him and on us and all the ones that are sick. We pray that that the Lord will sanctify them, wash all that out, clear this thing out so we can get back to church. But Brother Joe, while we're praying, if you don't mind, bring that phase one back up again, and then we'll be dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have a regular service as far as singing. So you'll be leading singing, and we'll have a few musicians, and the others will be here and just have a regular church service. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just pray. We've heard a shout. We've heard the trumpet. And we're hearing the trumpet now to get the last bit ready so that we can look at what God's done for us. And that's what they did to Israel. You know, you look back. A solemn time that you look back and you look at Job. And Job was human. And he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he did have an anointing of God. But he could sit one day. He said, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. Oh, I don't even want, I wish I had died before I took a first breath. That's what he said before. In my mother's womb. He said, I wish I'd have never even come to this earth. He said, but I'm here. And he stood up one day and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In other words, I got to have somebody. I'm in a bad place. I got to have somebody to bring me back. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the end days, there'll be a trumpet blow. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we'll take off. And Job said, in my flesh, I shall see God. Amen. So what a, and it's not a hope. We hear people say, oh, this is a blessed hope. It's not a hope. It's a reality. I don't hope that God's going to change my body. If I pass away or if I live to the change, he's going to change my body one way or the other. He's going to change all the people down through them seven church ages. They're going to hear a trumpet. And it's, what's he going to do, Brother Luis? It's going to say, hey, we need to go back there. We need to come back through here. We need to come back. They're ready. They're ready for us now. We're ready to come back and get. We've had to shout, we've had to voice, and we're right here waiting on just that last little bit. Last little bit to come in. Little brother baptized Sunday. God bless him. And the different ones that we see God moving in their life. And Brother Zach and Sister Nyla and different ones, Lord, just really dealing with them. And we didn't see that a year ago, 2 years ago. You know. But it's their time. And then the next time, I pray that if you are watching in, that it'll be your time next. Amen. It'll be your time to receive something from God. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray, Lord, that what we've said has been pleasing to you. Father, forgive us of our sins and many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen all of our bodies, Lord. Keep us strong. Keep this virus away from us. Lord, as we come together, Lord, to try to do our best to serve you, Lord, we pray that you would just keep us. Lord, and help us to look to you, our great watchman on that tower, Lord. And that when that trumpet's blown, we know what to do, Lord. We know sometimes that trumpet blows and it hurts sometimes, Lord, as human beings. But Lord, as the bride of Jesus Christ, it's the things that we need to get us out of here. It's the things that we need to line us up for this last push to get us out of this place where there'll be no viruses, Lord. There'll be no sorrow, no pain. no agony. Lord, we think of the protection that you give people like Brother Dick and Brother Tom and Brother Gary and all the different ones that's passed away here from our midst, Lord. They're in a place that's so safe. No worries. No problems. No troubles of life. No children to have to worry about. No bills to have to worry about. But Lord, at one time they did. But they ran their race. And now they're sitting safe. Safest place it could be in this whole universe is in that sixth dimension, Lord, where there's nothing but perfect love. Nothing but eternal life. Everything they touch is eternal. Everything they talk about is eternal. Everything that they are is eternal. Everything they walk on is eternal. Lord, what a wonderful place to be. Father, we know that that place is coming here. And that we will be a part. We are a recipient of that trumpet that sounded when we turned. Lord, one day you'll sound that trumpet and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be changed. And we'll all be caught up, Lord. It's not a hope. It's not a blessed hope. It's a surety, a reality. Lord, the ones that don't have that reality yet, we pray, Lord, today that you would touch them as we speak. Even the time that when they go to bed or they're walking around at work, Lord, may you speak to their heart. And, Lord, save their soul, Father, my children, the different ones that we think about, Lord, that we want safely in the fold, Father, we pray that you'd just be with them now. Take care of us, Lord, as we go. Have another week, Lord. It will come in the middle of the week, Lord, Brother Aaron, that you'll touch his lips, Lord, with that coals of fire that touched the lips of Isaiah, Lord. We know that fire now is not just on our lips, but it's down inside of us, Lord. And that you've just touched us all over with that coal, Lord. We pray that that coal will do away. Fire is a wonderful cleanser. And we pray that the Holy Ghost and fire will come now and cleanse us all, Lord, even in our natural bodies. Lord, and the people that are watching or listening in, we pray that you just touch them, Lord. May they realize that you're not gone. You're not sitting somewhere under a tree with your arms folded waiting on us, Lord. No, you're down here doing your work. You knew this was going to happen. You knew all this, and you knew how we were going to react. And, Father, we sorry that we react pitifully to it sometimes, Lord, and we get into our humanity and have our pity parties and do like your prophet did that time. You know, he walked up there and sat under a tree and said, Lord, I just kill me. He had done seen all he wanted to see, and he tried his best. But, Lord, you came and comforted him, Father. Yes. You put a shadow over him, Lord, so it didn't burn him up, Lord. And we pray that you do that today, Lord. Not so much bring a shadow, but bring not a cloud of doubt, but, Lord, bring the sunshine, Lord. Yes. And also, too, in the natural, we need some rain, Lord, Father. We hadn't had rain in a couple of weeks. We need rain for our crops and our animals, Lord, and our grass and our fruit trees, Lord. We need that rain, Father. We pray that you'd bring that rain to us, Lord, the natural rain, knowing that we do have spiritual rain that's falling now. Lord, may we get under that and we be soaked with the blessings of you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.